When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Saskatchewan, it's time to talk sports. The all-new Sports Cage is on the air. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll free 1-866-767-0620. And we're always online at sportscage.com. 620 CKRM.
Saskatchewan, it is the Sports Cage. Welcome on this Wednesday, May 1st, the brand new Sports Cage. Barney Shinkaruk today. Coulson's got the board. And up in Saskatoon, our man Derek Bidwell. We have a show for you today. On the heels of the CFL draft, we are going to break down what our man Luke Mullender thinks about the draft. Dave Thomas, new voice of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, he's going to chime in later and tell us what he thinks about the pickups for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. We are hoping to get our second pick, Nick Weeb, on the phone in the next half hour to 40 minutes as he is traveling back to Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, where he played for the U of S Huskies. On the hockey front, we got Eric Francis at the 4 o'clock hour to talk about the NHL. WHL, game four tonight in Moose Jaw, the Warriors and the Blades. We're going to recap what happened last night. SJHL, the Melfort Mustangs are the SJHL champions. Their all-star goalie, James Venn, will join us later in the program. We are all over it, Saskatchewan, and that's why it is the new Sports Cage. Derek Bidwell in Saskatoon. You look good up there. What, you're at a hotel. It's not the Senator. I can see. It's not the Confed Inn. Where are you?
No. Well, it's a new Sports Cage, so we have a bigger budget now. So we're not at the. Where did you say that? Not the Senator. What was the other one you said?
The Confed Inn.
The Confed Inn. Yeah. No, we're not at the Confed Inn.
Used to have a loose off sale at the Confed Inn back in the day. Anyway,
a loose one. Yeah. There was a few loose ones. There was one at the old KG, I think, too.
KG.
Yeah. Anyways, that's no longer there. I think that's a nice fancy condo now, building now. But anyway, yeah, we are here at the Holiday Inn Hotel and Suites. We're right across from Griffith Stadium, and we're going to be here for the VIP reception that will take place tonight. Everybody's going to come rolling in around 5:30 here in this room, and speeches will get started around 6. We'll be off the air by then, so we won't be interrupting them, me bellowing here in the back of the room. But a VIP reception tonight, which includes Sean Payton, of course, head coach of the Denver Broncos, and these guests, Sean included, are here for the Dogs Breakfast tomorrow, the big fundraiser for the U of S Huskies football team for their scholarship program.
There we go. All right. Right on to the Western Pizza guest hotline. Color man for the Saskatchewan Rough Rider broadcast, Luke Mullender, joining us. Luke, after the draft last night, maybe poured yourself a pint and you went through it all. What's your assessment of how the Riders did?
Well, I think that when you looked at the overall draft and the way teams drafted, other than Joel DeBlanco, you didn't see a ton of guys, especially, and the reason why this is too is because a lot of guys are getting NFL looks, but you didn't see a ton of guys that are going to make immediate impact on a roster. Again, DeBlanco's probably the only one, right? So if you have one of those situations, you need to really build into your depth. And I liked the Saskatchewan Rough Rider draft because what they did, I think they got probably one of the best offensive linemen on the board, despite him going to an NFL camp before the Rough Riders see him. I think that I look at him as a little bit of a, and Rider Nation will know what I'm talking about. Keith Schuldigan was the same way. We drafted Keith Schuldigan, I think it was 2008, but we understood that he was going to go to the Chargers. And then as soon as camp opened in June, word got back that we were actually going to get Keith Schuldigan back. And I look at Kyle Hurdle as a guy because he's about 6'1", 6'2", 350. He's a smart player, though. He's a smart player. I love the film on him. Bluffs hard, plays hard. Another guy I like when you look at Rough Rider comparisons. I look at him as a little bit of a Wayne Smith type of guy. Wayne Smith had the same type of build, barrel-chested, though. But, again, I like Kyle Hurdle in the first spot they took him. I think that Nick Weave was a fantastic selection. Again, if you're going to go with a linebacker and then you understand what the Saskatchewan Rough Riders already have there on their roster, A, for linebackers, but also B, for Canadians and guys that can play linebacker. Nick Weave, a guy who got a almost, you know, just detrimental career or knee injury in the Hardy Cup last year. I mean, this guy is going to have to go through a ton of rehab. But before that injury, a lot of people will tell you that Nick Weave was going to be one of the first guys off the board. So if he gets healthy and he's able to come back, that is a steal of a pick there for Saskatchewan, potentially. So I really like that. And then when you looked at the rest of the selections, I mean, Dell Duncan Busby, a guy from Bemidji State, and people are like me, they can barely pronounce it, but you might not know his name, but this is a guy that produced at a really high level. And that's what you get throughout the roster, too, is guys that were either capable of producing, or a guy like Daniel Johnson that didn't play as much but went to a big-time Purdue program in the Big Ten, and you know is going to come with a lot of coaching and capacity to take on that coaching as a potential pro. So I really like the Rough Riders' approach. I think they did well in the draft, and now we go to camp.
Yeah, Bemidji State, big hockey school. And I was reading, it's the, I think it's the first player from Bemidji, football-wise, to be drafted into the CFL. We got to go to the video. And if people haven't watched it, the Riders put out an unreal video yesterday of Coach Mace calling Nick Weave and just the excitement on both sides, not just Nick, but like Corey Mace and his excitement. Imagine having a coach like that, Luke, call you with that excitement.
Well, that's one of the things that I think Corey Mace possesses, and it's what made him a candidate to be a head coach in the first place, is he's a guy that a lot of guys will buy into. I remember having the same feeling about Coach Austin. As soon as Coach Austin walked into our first major team meeting after camp had started, the first thing he said is, if you're not here to win the Great Cup, you can leave right now. We picked the wrong guys, right? And I think that you buy into certain attitudes. And I think that when it comes to this generation of athletes, I think Coach Mace really can relate and connect with them on a more personal level, and that's what you need. So I love the videos that the Riders are putting out. They've been calling people, and you know, you have guys that are legitimately excited to be pro football players. Now they just got to put it together. But again, Corey Mace is a guy that people are going to buy into, and that's one of the first things that you've got to do as a new head coach, but as a locker room. You've all got to buy into it. It's like Nick Saban said, right? Mm-hmm. Mediocre people don't like high-achieving people, and high-achieving people don't like mediocre people. One thing that gets them all together on the same page is that they can buy into the same ideas and principles. And I think that you can buy into Coach Mace, whatever side of the spectrum you sit on.
One of the best quotes ever right there. It's Luke Mullender joining us on the Western Pizza guest hotline. Hey, Rider Nation and Sports Cage listeners, you want to chime in? You want to send us your evaluation of what the Riders did yesterday? Capital 4 Lincoln text line always there for you. 306-936-6262. Go ahead, Bids.
I was just going to ask Luke about, go back to Kyle Hurdle, their offensive lineman that they drafted with the first pick overall, or first pick for them, third overall. I looked at his picture. They kept putting up this picture yesterday in the draft. He looked mean. He looked like there was a good It was a good photo. It made him look like a mean. What's his style of play like? Is it kind of like the pitcher? I mean, they showed a few clips, of course, when he was playing at Boston College, but maybe just a bit more on the type of player that he is. Because I know for an offensive lineman, you probably want a guy that's got a bit of a mean streak in him, right? That wants to just absolutely bulldoze and roll over that guy across from him.
It's interesting. I remember breaking down Sook Chung's evaluation when we were doing a deep dive into the draft picks a long time ago. And Sook Chung, I think a few guys, the guys that are mean always stick out. They look to finish. And you see Kyle Hergel as that guy. He always looks to finish his opponent. I definitely think that he plays with a mean streak. But the other thing that you see on film is technique. And you also see a very smart player. And that's one of the things, you know, rest in peace Brian Otte from Michigan State. I he was one of our centers when I was there. He was a mean SOB. Right, but sometimes, as good as he was, his mean streak just got the best of him, and we would be penalized unnecessarily during a game because he would take it too far. And I think Kyle Hergel is a guy that plays with just the amount of right amount of nasty. Right, if he's going to be able to pancake you, he's going to do it, but he's not going to overexert himself. He's going to get the job done. He's going to do what essentially his job is from play to play. But if he's got the opportunity to pancake you, he's going to make you look bad. And those are the guys I want. I want the guys that can play with a really mean streak, but also are smart, right? Chris Best was like that. Wayne Smith was like that, right? All the best offensive linemen, man, when they wanted to bury you, they would bury you, and then they would let you know that you just got buried. But they were also very smart, cerebral guys, students of the game, and I think that Kyle Hergel has an opportunity to be one of those guys, too.
What's a realistic time frame, do you think, Luke? Like, this is a patience pick, right? What's a realistic time frame?
I think that you're looking at Kyle Hergel. You might get him this year, or you might get him in two years. And I think that both sides of that potential are good. If you get him this year, you've got a guy that is going to be like a Dakota Shepley, for instance, where he literally pushed everybody. Right, you've got a guy there that's going to push the back end guys and the front end guys to be their best. That's exactly what you want out of a first round draft pick. And if he doesn't get here in 2 years, well, guess what? That gives you enough time to find out who you've got in the room, right? And more importantly, it also gives you enough time to really get the most out of a guy like Phillip Blake, who's on the other side of his career right now, right? Father Time's undefeated. Eventually, he's going to finally strike the last blow to a couple of these guys' careers, and that's when you probably get a guy like Kyle Hergel walking into the locker room. Now you've got a guy that's been in a pro system, especially the NFL. He's got all the right foundations. And he's going to come in and help you right away. So I think the advantages are going to be there wherever the Saskatchewan Rough Riders see him. But I think that that's also the key thing. I do believe that the Saskatchewan Rough Riders are going to see Kyle Hergel. I don't think we're going to see, for instance, Giovanni Manu. I don't think we're going to see Theo Benedict in the programs that they went to down in the NFL. I think that we're going to see Kyle Hergel.
So this is funny, Bidzy, and I don't even know if you know the answer to this question, because we were having a debate here at 1900 Rose Street today, and it was quite amazing how people didn't know the answer to this question. And then I asked Luke, and I'm like, if anyone's going to know, it's Luke. I asked him, how many years after you get drafted in the CFL draft, how many years does that team protect you? Do you know the answer to that, Derek?
No, I don't know the answer to that one. That's actually a very good question, because we're talking about guys that are a patience pick, though, like you said, right? Like Hergel, you know, always, you know, 1 year maybe with the New Orleans Saints, maybe 2 years before they maybe release him and move on, or maybe he sticks around. He's that good of a player, sticks around. But yeah, I've never thought about that, because there's a lot of guys where right there, people are saying that it's going to be two or three years before their NFL teams may give up on him, and then they go to a CFL team. So I don't know that one. Interesting.
Yeah, so the answer to that is forever. And you have to say it like that. You know, there's two different trains of thought. Some guys will, like the NFL, for instance, when an NFL drafts a player, they don't retain the rights to that player indefinitely, right? The onus is on is not exclusively just on the player. It's on the franchise as well. Both sides got to come to an agreement. And if they can't, team's rights players to the player expire. I think it's when the new league year begins, allowing that player to return to the draft pool. For the Canadian Football League, you're just there forever, right? You got drafted by the team, and that's the team that's going to have have your rights. It's like that necklace, right, guys? And you know what? You don't have to show up to camp, but the Saskatchewan Rough Riders are still going to own those rights if you do decide to come back. So that way, if you want to, for instance, if you didn't want to play in Saskatchewan and you decided that you wanted to play in BC, you can't just say, well, I retire, and then go call Rick Campbell, for instance, and say, I'm ready to sign here because I retired. It doesn't work like that. So there is essentially a mandated of forever when you get drafted into the Canadian Football League.
That's why I love it. It's just not yelling, and it's just not, you know, attacks. It's an educational program. And of the five people that I talked to today that are pretty savvy when it comes to football, I had no idea the answer to that. Luke, thanks so much for giving us your time today. Appreciate the insight and the passion. And again, we'll talk to you in a few days.
The final thought is, guys, just remember that the Canadian Football League draft is like none other. This is always a half-patient draft. Everybody picks from pick one all the way down to the last pick in the seventh round. The teams are developing these guys. The Canadian draft, all these guys are being looked at as developmental guys, and that's the key. Coaching matters, and now it's on the coaches.
You got it, my man. All right. Thanks, Luke.
All right, guys.
Luke Mullender on the Western
Forever.
Pizza guest pizza hotline. That's the GIF or GIF he sent me. It was a forever.
With an echo almost. Forever.
Yeah. You know, obviously there's a game. Never there's changes. Games that guys can play. Like, hey, listen, buddy, I'm not coming.
I'm not going there.
So you
I'm not
can
going there, yeah.
Either get maybe something for me. Or let's talk about a release here. Or what do you need? But
rights, but I'm not going there.
Yeah.
I had a bad experience in Edmonton. I went there one time, and guy decided he wanted to pump my eyes shut, and I still have nightmares about that. He was wearing an Oilers jersey, and I had some other type of jersey on, and I still have nightmares. So I'm not coming to Edmonton unless I'm in the visitors' locker room. So either trade my rights, or I retire, something like that.
Yeah, no, it's a very interesting. I like that the Riders went in the sixth round with Deshaun Mims. Watched a few Rams games last year, and a local boy. Everyone always loves the local feel. Like we said, we're going to hopefully talk to Nick Wieben a bit here, who played up at the U of S for the Huskies. Just talking to Ariel from the Rider office, and we're trying to get a pronunciation on the correct pronunciation on his name. But I think this guy is that real diamond in the rough, stab in the dark, because when you go down and check it out, he's 6'2", 211. He played the past season at Garden City Community College, where he suited up for seven games with the Bronkbusters. So the Garden City Community College Bronkbusters hauled in 17 receptions, 186 yards. But he started his football career, Bidzy, at Clemson in 20 and 22. He played 22 games, 8 receptions, 114 yards. So he's been at a big school, right? And again, it's not just playing and being at a big school, it's practicing against the competition and the guys you're seeing across. And that translates to any sport. I don't care if it's soccer. If you're playing in the Premier League, was that what it's called? Premiership? Premier League? Yeah. Yep. You're practicing against the best guys. If you're in the major leagues of baseball, or you know, NCAA baseball, even it's against the best guys. So
pitchers you're facing,
So that's I like this. I'm curious to see. And he's had some injury problems. He attended South Florida.
And why did he end up in Garden City though?
Well, he doesn't break down that, but I think there were some injury issues. And he just said, you know what? I've always wanted to be a Bronkbuster, so let's go try my luck with that.
No, since I was a kid, I've been saying that's where I want to play. I don't want to play Clemson. I want to play. No, there's probably something too. We'll find a little bit more about that. But you know what? Sounds like
COVID's in there too, man. Right? Like 2023. Right. There's the whole COVID, which we're seeing with a lot of guys. Right? Like Nick Wieb. If you get a chance to talk to him, he was an Oregon Duck, and it's right around the COVID time. So It was a weird couple of years.
You had another crop, because, you had another crop of people coming in. So some of the older guys that maybe they thought didn't pan out, or, you know, maybe they their chance kind of got eliminated. They kind of got bumped, essentially.
Because a lot of the older guys stuck around. Right? They got the fifth year of eligibility, or they got another year of eligibility. So maybe there's something to that as well. Okay, so you're in Saskatoon.
That Garden City Bronc Buster, though, I was just going to say, that sounds like a real good spot for that last chance you. You've seen that probably on Netflix, right? Yeah. That sounds like one of those places where, because if you've ever watched that series, if you're a football fan, watch Last Chance U. It's pretty interesting. Some of these junior colleges and these places where these guys ended up, they started like in major, major programs, ended up there for whatever reason. Maybe it was, you know, an attitude thing. Maybe it was an injury thing. Maybe it was just a numbers game. And they got a second chance. And that's a really interesting watch. But this could be one of those guys that he's just in the right environment. Who knows what'll happen with them?
It is the all new Sports Cage. We're talking Riders. We're talking CFL draft. A quick break here on the home of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, 620 CKRM.